If you think forensics all take place in at crime scenes and at CSI labs, then you're wrong. There is another form of forensics that involves sharp wit and incisive logic, and I have four people who are experts in those departments. With me, Mike Brooks, speech and debate coach here at UTEP and communications instructor, along with Justin Davidson, who is the captain of the UTEP forensics speech and debate team, joined by two of his teammates, Samantha Rubio and Manny Duran, who also have their accolades in the area of speech and debate. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you
for having
Glad
us.
To be here.
You just had a major event, apparently, in April. Tell me about that event.
You know, this event took place on April 30th for our centennial showcase and alumni reunion. You know, it was just fabulous. We had over 100 attended the program, mm-hmm. and we had a lot of our top competitors give off their performances that they've competed throughout the year, as well as a parliamentary-style debate. And the debate topic was, in a globalized society, do we need borders? And the big issue was really about immigration, particularly, I think one of our students said it best. He said, you know, when I'm in the library or in the bookstore or anywhere else on campus, I always have to be in fear because I don't have papers. And so I think it really struck to the audience here in El Paso. It was an excellent event.
Talking about forensics is so near and dear to my heart because I love language and I love the exchange of ideas. I'm the kind of idiot that goes back after not being chosen for jury duty just to watch what goes on in the courtroom. So I'm one of you. Tell me about your experiences, Samantha, Manny. What brought you into the field of speech and debate? Because I know, Samantha, you've been at it since high school, correct?
I have been. I've been doing this for about 8 to 9 years, and it's something that I'm very passionate about. So,
you are a national champion.
I am.
Yes.
I am. I won my freshman year of college in the Fire Pie National Tournament, and mm-hmm. it was an experience all in itself, and which is something that we would like for a lot of people to be able to experience, is the sharing of ideas and the ability to communicate with other people in different areas, whether it be mm-hmm. informative speaking, whether it be prose interpretation, whatever the case may be, it's for everyone.
Manny, you've been at this since about eighth grade. How did this click with your personality, with who you are?
More than anything, I think that when you grow up in a region which is predominantly Hispanic, you have a lot of Spanish-speaking individuals. Having that in perspective, you grow up speaking nothing but Spanish with your family. Mm-hmm. So I felt that this entire time that I've been doing this has allowed me to expand upon American English and literature and taking arguments that resonate with audiences via acting, but with a level of intellectuality where you have an introduction, you have selections that go for that argument.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a experience that helps you communicate.
Wow, you chose a high bar for yourself because you just described exactly what goes on in so many households, including mine as a child, speaking Spanish at home, speaking English in school.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
you could have shied away from choosing your second language, so to speak.
Right. Absolutely.
Wow. But you tend to shoot high because you're in pre-med, apparently, the biomed track.
Yes.
And Samantha, you're in pre-nursing.
Yes.
And speech pathology.
Yes.
Obviously taking the easy way out, both of you. Yes. And Justin, what is your chosen course of study?
You know, I'm a multidisciplinary studies major, so I think I
can't make up your mind. Well, you should be very proud, Mr. Brooks, because you have three extraordinary students here. What changes do you see from the point where people walk in the door? You teach basic courses, so you see people change and transformed.
I do teach business communication, which is a freshman type of course for general population. And I do occasionally recruit within the business course frame. You have speakers that are sort of inspired, and you can see some innate abilities come out, but most of the time people who are interested in speech debate have a specific focus with specific goals.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes it's simply, I like to argue, so I want to get that system down better. And other times it has to do with expressing themselves in front of an audience. One of my happiest moments is seeing that little click where students come in thinking, no, I can't do this. Oh, yes, I'm going to win, or I'm going to trounce the competition. And we like to focus on the educational aspects here, but at heart, it is a competition, and it's nice to see when the competitive spark gets awakened in a person.
Yeah, and that is what will push a lot of us to do, oftentimes without realizing we're finally doing it, to do something for the thrill of competition. It does bring it out in us.
It gets ruthless sometimes, too.
Well, yeah, you say that like it's a bad thing. No.
We like to couch ourselves in being an educational type.
But that's part of the learning, I would guess, is figuring out at what point have you gone too far. Have you ever had that happen in competition?
No, not yet at least.
You practiced too much ahead of time.
I do. I try to be prepared. That way I don't have to be ruthless. But I guess stomping on the competition with, my prepared speeches and all of my preparation is okay. Being ruthless, maybe.
But no loss of control in the course of a competition.
No, we always have a respect. There's a level of respect within universities, even at the high school level. You can do it in a round with your mind, but you don't do it out of spite with harshness or anger.
What a lovely thing to learn. Yeah.
There really is a camaraderie between all of the universities, and we try not to be ruthless. It's all about, support, and whether it be, for other schools or for your own team, it really is a special kind of community.
So it definitely goes beyond sibling rivalry and throwing things. We have, apparently, in the fall, another event coming up, the IDEA, I-D-E-A, debate. Can you tell us about the background on this?
The IDEA is the International Debate Educators Association.
Ah, okay.
It was originally formed post some of the conflicts in Eastern Europe, and the idea was to get people who would generally disagree politically, in this case it was in Yugoslavia, to the point of some very serious harms being created, attempting to get a dialogue developed. One of the interesting things about debate is that it requires objective research. We all come into a situation with our own opinions, but it asks you to develop the other point of view, too. And you don't know until very shortly before the debate if you're going to be advocating a position or going against that position, so you have to be informed on both sides. It was designed to get disparate communities talking to each other. They attempted to set up a college-level debate in the border southwest, and El Paso is one of the communities that they're trying to establish this dialogue. We would be meeting students from the University of Texas, meeting students in IDEA, Mexico, to discuss border and immigration reform in the United States.
My default setting is humor. I start out looking for fun in things. But I really do take this skill that you are developing to heart, because personally I believe it is the core of human evolution, this kind of communication. What are some of the moments that you've experienced, both as students or as a teacher, where you've really, let's talk about the power of generating a shift. Have you ever had to represent, for example, the side of an argument that you did not believe in and experienced your own moment of enlightenment?
For me especially, I first started out this year with a big focus on more of a right-wing Republican view on energy, on oil and hydraulic fracturing, and I took the stance that this is the greatest thing for this country, and we need to do as much and more as possible. And over the season, I've also crafted the opposing strategy to that, the opposite side, which is completely opposite. This needs to stop now, and, further use of this will, destroy much of our country. And it took actually presenting this in front of people, actually, receiving their opinion and thoughts about it, for me to realize that there is a equally resonating side to opposite hydraulic fracturing. There is a complete opposite to that. And before I started that, I could have only negotiated the right-wing Republican ideal. And now I think by the end of this season, I can give a pretty good persuasion on the Democrat left-wing idea for that particular topic.
Isn't that something that I think wisdom is inherently confusing? Yeah. Have you ever had that? You're nodding your head, Samantha. Yeah. What was your story on that?
For me, particularly in speech and debate, I don't do the debate portion. I've never found myself to be very good at it. But I do a lot of interpretation events. And for myself, I've always come in with an opinion about something, yet the literature always manages to change the person who I am. Okay. By the end of the year, I always have a different opinion or a different way of looking at things.
So the literature in itself is your internal dialogue, what you know with what you're learning.
Right.
Because I've actually failed as an interviewer up to this point in having you explain the differences, the parliamentary debate, the interpretation. So you want to take the lead on educating me on how those break down?
So debate is where you have a topic, a resolution is what we call it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an affirmative and a negative side, which support or negate the resolution. And you have to do so with logic, with evidence, keeping up to date with current issues, making sure you watch CNN every day to make sure that you stay sharp.
Yes.
So that's,
and listen to NPR.
Yes.
Don't let me put words in your mouth, but.
And I'm not a debater, which goes to show with my lack of providing you with the NPR.
No, it's okay. I forgive you.
And now individual events are events that you prepare with literature or with topics that you choose. We have two divisions within that, the platform and the interpretation events.
Mm-hmm.
For platform, you have persuasive, informative, communication analysis, where you select a topic. Say, for example, you want to inform people about the latest technology and you write an informative speech. There's a format to that, and that's the platform world. And then in the interpretive world, you have it's basically like acting, but you have an argument and you do research by composing several pieces of literature, not composing, but gathering rather different pieces of literature that go for your argument.
Okay.
And that's the fun acting side.
When students walk in, Mr. Brooks, to your classroom, do you fairly quickly know which area they're going to excel in, whether it's debate or interpretation or...
I think that one of the things that we provide is a supporting environment, and I absolutely want to talk to people about what their motives are, their aspirations would be, and what their comfort levels are. I think they're very different type events and different mind processing that goes along with them when we're looking at interpretive event. Some people are more comfortable expressing themselves through the words of others. Other people are kind of control freakish, like me, who want to own information and they want to design the events on their own, so they have the autonomy and freedom.
Yes, yes.
So it is an interview process, but I encourage everybody to try everything.
Well, I suspect that listening in on any of these events is an incredible educational experience for the audience. Are the events readily accessible? Are they held usually here on campus? If I want to attend, what do I do?
We travel an awful lot for competitive speaking. I would suggest supporting in your high schools. Their speaking events, since they're local, they're much more accessible than we are. All of our competitions basically take place out of town. We were fortunate enough to have a couple competitions in the Tempe area. San Marcos is another close one, but we're pretty geographically isolated, so we
Well,
have to
darn. I either have to become a roadie, or you're going to have to let me know when the next event is going to be in El Paso so I can let people know, because it would be awesome to turn out and hear this.
We are going to have a showcase this fall, and we hope to reach out and be more effective in our outreach to the community.
Well, I'd be delighted to help you with that. My guests today have been Mike Brooks, who is a speech and debate coach here at UTEP, as well as a communications instructor, Justin Davidson, captain of the UTEP Forensic Speech and Debate Team, joined by teammates Samantha Rubio and Manny Duran. I thank you all for being here today, and I encourage our listeners to Google UTEP Speech and Debate or track them down on Facebook and keep up with what's going on. This is such an exciting area of study. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.